Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine has been portrayed by many national security experts as Vladimir Putin's attempt to reset the global balance of power. But it appears to be a major reset in the political landscape in Western countries. Members of NATO, the EU, even countries like Germany that have been more reluctant to speak out against Russia, are now speaking out more openly against Vladimir Putin and in support of Ukraine. Let's dissect all of this with Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Hi, Derek.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So we have seen over the past few days sanctions escalate and become ever more rigorous and draconian. There was disagreement, it doesn't seem like all that long ago, on whether they should levy these harsh sanctions. Why are the U.S. and its allies growing so quickly more resolved in this stance against Russia?
Well, there is no question that the U.S. and its allies are growing more resolved in their stance against Russia. I think that there were some people that expected that Russia might be kicked off the SWIFT system, a communications platform for international trade. But the real surprise to a lot of onlookers, both in the political and economic community, is that the foreign assets of Russia's central bank have been frozen. That is a kind of economic siege of a major power that we really haven't seen in modern history. One way that I think of it is that, you know, to a certain extent, you can think of, you know, Russia trying to create a siege around the Ukrainian city of Kyiv. In a different way, non-military way, the international community is trying to lay siege to the Russian economy, to squeeze it, to force Putin to come to the bargaining table. And I think it's really remarkable the degree to which both the EU and the U.S. have really stepped up their economic sanctions of Russia.
And Germany is a bit of a surprise. This is a country that for a very long time has walked a careful line when it comes to Russia, but it's now joining Western nations. There's more concrete actions it's taking. It has announced it'll sharply increase military spending and send aid to Ukrainian forces. Can you remind us why Germany has been so reluctant in the past to engage Russia in this way, and what has changed?
Germany and Russia are deep trading partners. There were a lot of people that predicted that the European community overall would be a little bit slow to react to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, especially if it was a quick disposal of the Ukrainian government and conquest and annexation of Ukraine, in large part because Europe depends on Russia for so many exports. Europe has a deep relationship with Russia, especially when it involves the trade of energy. Coal and natural gas from Russia are absolutely critical to the energy portfolio of the European continent. And so a lot of people expected that Europe would not act this aggressively, but here we are. They have. It's notable to point out, important to point out, that the sanctions on Russia's banks reportedly do not necessarily include sanctions on or an inability to pay Russia for energy. But that might be the next shoe to drop. I mean, things are moving so quickly. It might be the next shoe to drop that there are sanctions on energy, which could be really remarkable, considering that I just looked up. The low in Berlin today is 27 degrees. You need energy if you're a Berlin household when the low drops to 27 degrees Fahrenheit. But we will see what happens in that category.
Also, FIFA announced today it will suspend Russia from participating in the World Cup. The International Olympic Committee has recommended that Russian and Belarusian athletes be banned from the games. When we're talking about these huge sort of geopolitical shifts, how much meaningful impact do these actions from the sporting organizations have?
It has an impact. This is part of a broad portfolio of punishments for Russia. The way that I would think of it is this. Look, I'm a huge international sports fan, so and so are lots of people in Europe. So to a certain extent, anything that essentially sanctions Russian culture is also a sanction of Vladimir Putin and his regime. I think it's important to point out that the sanctions on sports are nothing really compared to the sanctions on the Russian economy. We're looking at a ruble that has lost 30 to 40% of its value overnight. We're looking at a country in Russia where people can't take money out of the ATM machine, and the money that they do take out is losing a third of its value every single day. That's the beginning of a potential hyperinflationary crisis that we don't know the ultimate consequences to. We know certainly from German history that hyperinflation can lead to all sorts of terrible political effects. I'm not predicting that. I'm simply saying that if we want to have our eye on the ball here, the FIFA, the IOC sanctions, those are important. But the real story here is the fact that the Russian economy is facing outright collapse in the next few days. And we're doing this to force Putin to the table to hopefully give up his attempt to annex or conquer Ukraine.
Derek, we only have about 30 seconds, but do you think it's true that after a few years of people questioning the future of NATO, that Vladimir Putin has just sort of revitalized NATO?
Without question, he's revitalized NATO. I think the response from the international community has been extremely robust and has even surprised people calling for a robust response from the international community. What we're seeing is something unprecedented, and I don't know how things are going to change in the next 24 hours, yeah, much less a week from now when I come back to talk to you about what's happened in Russia.
Derek Thompson is senior writer at The Atlantic. Thanks, Derek.
Thank you.